Last week, Minnesota Public Radio fired its only Black classical music host for changing up the station's classical music lineup without permission. Garrett McQueen defends what he did, saying he mixed in works by Black composers and added more contemporary music to reflect the moment we're in. McQueen's actions are just the latest in an ongoing movement calling for more diversity in classical music. Conductor Brandon Keith Brown argues that classical music can change the racial conscience of society, and he recently penned a Medium article titled, "It's Time to Make Orchestras Great Again by Making Them Blacker." Brandon Keith Brown joins us now from Berlin, Germany. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you for having me.
So, Brandon, you say the concert hall is a magical place, and yet at every level you write, concert halls make it clear that they are for white people only. You're a conductor. Explain what this looks and feels like for you.
Well, even as an audience member, when I go to the hall, you know, people are always staring. There's this over-attention on you because you're one of the only Black people, if not the only Black person in the concert hall. And typically these spaces, these orchestra spaces or opera spaces, have historically been spaces for white people to separate themselves, typically bourgeois, upper middle class white people, to separate themselves from people of lower class and people that are different than them. Mm-hmm. So even though this is my music, I own this music, I conduct this music, this is my profession, there is always still even that sense of not belonging when you go. And it also sometimes can follow me very much on the podium when I'm conducting an orchestra as well.
Hmm. In your latest piece, though, you say worldwide orchestra seasons continue to shrink. And this economic fallout with COVID-19 is indication that white musicians playing music by white composers for white-only audiences isn't sustainable. But to the point you just made, hasn't classical music always been classist or elitist? What you seem to be saying is that it's time to rethink this.
Well, I will say that every time you've given Black people access to an art form, athletics, we have dominated. And because classical music is a space of white supremacy designed for and by white people only, I think one of the biggest fears white people have is that Blacks will come in and dominate this space and take away this space from them. And so I think that's why we see orchestras are only 1.3% Black in the United States. We don't see Black soloists that are able. And it's not because we're not able to do it. It's not because we're not able to be music director of a top five orchestra, which has never happened. It's not because we're not ready to do it. It's because they want to keep these spaces white. And this woke me up, to put it very frankly, to the fact that I'm Black before I'm a conductor. You know, I will never be seen as a, you know, orchestra conductor before I am Black.
I want to talk with you a little bit about the music itself, and the music appealing to larger audiences. So ballet and theater seems to have evolved in ways that classical music has not. So is this also a challenge, not just getting more people of color and Black people specifically into classical music and attending performances, but also evolving the medium?
Very much so. Look, I've used several times in my articles Beyonce. So Beyonce has no problems getting an audience. But when you ask yourself, who is the typical Beyonce audience member? It's all different colors, shapes, and sizes. Ballet has come along quite a bit, I believe, in the sort of the evolution, because all of the classical art forms were imported. A lot of them were imported from Europe. But because Blacks have had access to a lot of other dance forms, I believe that we've started to be included. But classical music banks on actually secluding itself and dividing society by race and class. And you'll hear a lot in orchestras advertising, you know, basically, we're playing Beethoven. It's really great. It's good for you. Come hear it. But there's no offer of exchanging cultures, no sort of meeting people in the middle and saying, this is really great what you're doing. We're going to include what your cultural repertoire is. We're going to include your cultural repertoire with what we do. Instead of just saying, we're playing in this hall, you should come in. And if you don't, you're low class, you're less educated, you're not sophisticated. And so
I do speak a lot on the racial aspect, but you've got to realize that classical music is saying no to the working poor. Mm-hmm. If you look at 2016, 2% of American society went to the opera.
But you know what? There are glimpses of classical music and popular culture. I mean, I'm thinking about how my son is always sitting around and humming the theme to Revenge of the Sith by John Williams. But there isn't necessarily the connection with the classical music world. And that's how most people experience classical music today. Those who aren't part of the 1% who go to the music halls, they experience it through movies and shows. How do you drive that connection?
Well, first of all, I believe that's my fault, and that's the fault of classical music. You can't have this sort of elitist art form and expect people to come to you. You have to come to them. One of the major disconnects between orchestras and opera companies in cities is that we're not addressing the needs of people. So classical music has utility in the movies, right? Classical music has a certain type of utility for dance because music is moving the body. But when we talk about classical music in a concert hall setting, for many people, it doesn't have a real utility. But this mm-hmm. connection is my responsibility as a conductor, is to somehow reach across lines and class of race and get people in a room to be able to feel the same thing at one time. So if we can remind people that we're all human and we have the same feelings through sound, if we could do it through this way, I think that this is something, the shared empathy that will go out into the street. This is something that is going to, you know, allow us to sit next to each other in the train without, you know, white people getting up when I sit down. You know, people won't grab their purse when I pass by and switch it to the other side. People won't cross the other side of the street. People won't call the police on me when I'm in the grocery store and, you know, think I put something in my pocket. And maybe the police will stop shooting us. You know, Pierre Bourdieu, the famous sociologist and philosopher, said that music is the only art form that goes directly to the human spirit. And this mm-hmm. is one of the reasons why I believe that only classical music can save itself. But I believe classical music is the only thing that can change the racial conscience of white society in America, because it polarizes society in such a strong way. I can't think of anything else that can bring balance to this.
Hmm. Before we let you go, there is some music that really speaks to this that you're talking about, that you listen to get through hard times. Mendelssohn's Calm Seas and Prosperous Voyage, first performed in Berlin in 1828. Here are the opening measures from a performance you conducted recently at the Cape Town Philharmonic. Brandon, what about this resonates with you?
This is a prayer for hope. You know, this is a prayer for a time of peace. And it's, you know, this music is really important right now to give us a vision. The fact is, we don't know when peace will come. We don't know when peace will come for COVID. We don't know when this social unrest will stop. But this is, I think, for me right now, this is one of the only pieces that gives me this, a calm and a sense that eventually things will be better. You know, I mean, things, of course, they're not going to go back to normal. It'll be forever changed. But I think that we can say definitely something will be better.
Brandon Keith Brown is a classical music conductor in Berlin, Germany. Brandon, thank you so much for talking about this topic with us.
Thank you for having me.
It's Here and Now.